I do.
State your name for the record.
My name is Michael D'Amico.
And your position?
I'm a consultant, executive consultant to the city of Warwick. So with regard to the fiscal note, just to clarify, a fiscal note is designed to show the change in costs, whether those changes are increases or decreases, to the city. That is the design of a fiscal note. The OPEB, the cost that you have asked about, already exists. Those costs already exist. So you would not include costs that already exist in a fiscal note. For instance, this contract has a reduction in sick days of 4 days. We show how much that will save. We did not show what the cost was of the remaining sick days, the other 16. That is not typical in a fiscal note. So the 70% of OPEB that you asked about already exists. It is not a change, and therefore it is not required to be in a fiscal note.
So what you're saying is that the employees that haven't been hired, right, are accounted for already in the future at how many employees?
I'm saying that by hiring them, the cost is already in the contract, the old contract, and this does not change the cost of hiring those employees. It reduces it by 30%, but you would not include in that number what's already in the old contract. I would also furthermore point out that the ordinance is very clear that you show the costs for the next 3 years. And it's very clear, and that is also very common because a contract is typically 3 years, and we all know after the third year, literally any part or no part of this contract could change. Since none of these employees have been hired, and they may not be hired in the 3 years, furthermore, they will certainly not retire within the 3 years. Therefore, any impact of that OPEB will not, that 30% will have no impact until retirement, which is 25 or 30 years out. The ordinance makes clear that there should be a notation and an explanation, but it does not, it is very clear on this, it should not be included in the fiscal note in terms of the hard dollars, the cost. And I will read that section.
So he just read the section.
Okay.
And so what you're saying is you can tell us there's a 30% savings from that cost, but you can't tell us what you deducted it from.
I'm telling you that is not required, and I don't have that information today. The same as if you ask me what is the total sick days. The fiscal note shows the reduction in cost of the sick days, and if you said what is the total cost of sick days, I don't have that data here today, and it is not required for his fiscal note. It's an apples-to-apples comparison. Just as you would not have what is your sick days cost you today, you would not also not have what is your OPEB costing you today. That is not something you would have in a fiscal note. I think that everything in this conforms to the fiscal note. I will defer to the finance director, as it is his fiscal note, and you can ask him if he would also state that everything in this fiscal note conforms to the ordinance, and it is a fair representation and a reasonable estimate of the cost of this contract.
And a reasonable estimate of the cost.
Or savings.
Oh,
I use
savings.
The word cost, but in this case it's a savings, but I use
but
the
not what it's going to cost. I get it. Go ahead, Mr. Sylvia.
I would agree with what Mr. D'Amico just stated within this fiscal note. You are seeing an estimate of the costs over the next 3 years, and there is a footnote related to future costs, and the savings are noted in the contract. But that is what is reflected
and
in the fiscal note.
Agree with me that this is a savings for only new employees, right?
This is based on new hires.
Right. So there's no impact to current retirees or current employees, correct? There's no savings there.
This provision that we're speaking of right now, that is correct.
And what Mr. D'Amico and yourself are saying is you can't, that the employees were already included in the actuarial estimate that was given to us from before, right?
I'm sorry, if I could, that is not what I said. I did not say they were included in the actuarial. I said that these new hires, the terms under which they would be hired were included in the old contract. That is what I said, meaning whatever the cost will be of those employees are already included in the old contract.
Right.
You have incurred no cost to date, and you will not in the next 3 years related to those employees, no matter when they're hired. You will incur no OPEB cost or no healthcare, retirement healthcare cost related to those employees. But
will never what? Will never.
I did not say never. I said you will not incur retiree healthcare costs related to those employees, the new employees, in the next 3 years.
You won't see any savings, is what you're saying, in the next 3 years.
I also agree that related to this OPEB, you're correct. You will not see any savings in the next
You won't see any savings for maybe 20, 25 or 30 years.
That is absolutely correct, yes.
And if you were to calculate what the savings were 25 or 30 years from now, that's what you're basing the 30% on. You deduct 30% from that cost, correct?
What cost
did you deduct the 30% from?
Again, I did not prepare this. This was the actuary prepared this, and it was not deducted from a cost. The actuary determines what percentage of their health care will be covered.
Mr. DiMicco, just tell us you don't want to give us the number. Rather than keep going in circles.
No, that would be a dishonest answer. I'm giving you the honest answer. No finance person will give you a cost estimate of an employee you have not yet hired. I don't know the date you will hire them. I don't know how many people you will hire. There's too many unknowns. What the actuary did say is, whatever date that is, the cost will be 30% lower. Depending on the date, that cost could be $1, $100, $40 million. If you wait 200 years to hire the person, it could be $8 billion.
So you don't know.
It will be 30% lower.
You don't know what that cost is.
It's not a number anybody knows.
Right.
First of all.
But you can tell us it's a 30%. You can tell us it's a 30% savings.
I can tell you.
On the number you don't know. I get it. So.
I'm trying to give you a very honest financial answer, and I don't appreciate the sarcastic.
It's not sarcasm. It's frustration.
Well,
because you're telling us that you can calculate a 30% savings, but you can't give us what that number is that you calculated it off. It's ridiculous.
I gave you a full explanation. I'm sorry if you're not satisfied with the explanation, but it is a full, honest explanation.
Yes, Mr. Lattisaw.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. If I could just add a few things. So, what's concerning to me, in addition to all the conversation that we've had, is that we're being asked to vote on something that isn't complete. Mr. Dimitri, I had heard you say at the last meeting that there were some things that you were going to have to come back to us with ordinances to take care of some things that weren't covered in this contract. I also asked you about how do these numbers reflect into the cost of this OPEB policy that you're talking about. And you made it clear that it wasn't your numbers, it was the actuary's numbers. And that's fine, and I concur with that. I also asked you if the actuaries were in the room, and they weren't. And I asked if the actuaries could come here and speak to us. And are they in the room tonight?
They're not.
No. So, if any one of us were to go to a bank tomorrow or the next day and walk in and look to take out a mortgage to buy a house or anything else, would anyone in this chamber sign on the dotted line with blank spaces and ambiguities and items that, oh, we'll change that after? Would anybody do that? I don't think so. So you talk about the 30%, and that's fine, gentlemen. You know, you can laugh about it. That's okay. That's your privilege to do so. But at the end of the day, there's no doubt in my mind no one would go to a bank and sign a loan for anything that had the omissions in it that this has or the things that need to be corrected after. So what we have here is we have assumptions that are being presented to us that they haven't been proven. You haven't proven this to us. You haven't proven to me that this plan you're talking about on OPEB is going to save 30%. You haven't proven it because you just talked about it. You just said you don't even know what it is because we don't have anybody, we haven't hired anybody. So I asked at the last meeting, as a matter of fact, when I had asked about certain numbers, such as how much will an employee contribute to this OPEB contribution, the answer was, I don't know, because we haven't hired an employee yet. We don't know. So if you don't know what the beginning number is, how are you going to be, how do you project a 30% return or savings if you don't know what the beginning number is? And then, excuse me, and then Councilman Snappy asked me if I had a spreadsheet or information to those questions, and I gave him a blank one. Did you receive this?
Did
anybody receive this in the administration to fill out?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes.
Did you fill it out?
I did not.
You did not. So, we don't have the answers to this spreadsheet. And what this spreadsheet, the questions that are on here, the columns that were asked to be filled in, is how much is an employee going to contribute? How long will it take for this? What is it worth at the end of your 15 years, your 25 years? How much is the payout going to be at the end? And all those answers came back, I don't know. Well, you know what? I want to know, because I need to know that before I can vote on something that is so significant. And, excuse me. And here's some of the things. Here's what we're talking. Here's what I'm speaking to. And these are all the actuaries' assumptions and specifications. Someone we can't talk to now. We can't ask the questions that they should be able to give us the answer because they're the architect of the blueprint. And that's what I'm going by, is the blueprint. So it says, assumption, 6.9% investment return, 3% salary increase. What happens to this OPEB plan if the contribution increase doesn't continue at 3%? And you're not going to be able to give me an answer on it because you don't know what the beginning number is. So I'm just going to keep running these questions off for you. You talk about the current estimated single premium, $800 a month. It says healthcare inflation, 6% a year. So the assumption is it's only going to stay at 6% a year. That certainly would be enjoyable for everyone if it did. You stipulate a plan of 15-year and 25-year. You talk about a 2% of the pay contribution per year. Is that 2% compounded, like the 3% COLA is? And if it is, how does that impact what happens with this plan? You identify, the actuaries, because this isn't your plan, this is the actuaries. We identify the average current firefighter's salary, average, not including overtime, $72,800. A lieutenant, current average, $89,000. Captains, current average, $98,000. These are all the numbers the actuary provided. And that supposedly, on this sheet, if it would have been filled out, and now I'm greatly concerned why it wasn't filled out. Why wasn't this filled out? This is a spreadsheet that simply carries out the mathematical formulas that were provided by your actuaries, by the city actuaries. They drew the blueprint. They were the architect of this blueprint. I simply asked for the blanks. Fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. And you didn't fill in the blanks. So that gets me greatly concerned about supporting something that I don't know where it's going or where it has been. We read some things in the record, so I'm going to read something here that talks of OPEB, because OPEB seems to be, you know, this big issue on the table. And I agree, it is a big issue. I just don't think it's totally understood how big an issue. So it says, an OPEB trust is an irrevocable trust designed to provide benefits to retirees of the municipality and may not be diverted to other uses until the obligation is satisfied. That's what it says. So what we're saying, you're saying, in this OPEB plan, is that at some point in time, on the passing of an employee or other time, that whatever the number is that you haven't provided, that this annuity, because that's what this is an annuity. This is not any savings in any immediate future to the taxpayers. Because you said, this doesn't even begin to equalize any place until some 20, 25 years out. If it does, and if it ever hits 30%, because you haven't provided us with the information on this spreadsheet right here. That would have been very clear. It would have made everything very, very clear. So if this annuity has a drawdown, as you project in this plan here, does that violate the OPEB trust definition? Mr. DePasquale, hold on, because there's one more clarification on that. When I ask, does it violate the OPEB trust condition, it says for the benefits to retirees. This OPEB trust is designed for health care benefits. How is a payout a health care benefit? And when, in some cases, potentially, based upon the numbers that the actuaries provided that are plugged into a sheet, a report, an Excel spreadsheet, there's a potential for a payout to be over the 15-year plan, 200 and some thousand, over the 25-year plan, over 500,000. Where does your fiscal note address the impact to the trust when a payout, just a payout, is done? Where does that say that in your fiscal note?
So the trust is designed to pay for the health care costs of the retiree in retirement. Once that person passes away, there are no costs related to that person in retirement because they have passed away. Therefore, the money that was set aside for their health care can no longer be used for their health care. They have passed away. So the reason why that would not be accounted for in a fiscal note is because there is no cost anymore once they've passed away, and therefore their money in the OPEB trust, per the terms of this contract, would go to their estate, because the purpose of that money, and to be clear, no taxpayer money is going into that trust. It is the employee's money. It is 2% of their pay to be used to offset their retiree health care costs. Once they have passed away and there are no costs, it would be highly unusual for the city to take an employee's money and repurpose it to pay for something else, whether that's someone else, some other retiree's health care, or anything else. That is their money, and they have put it aside for this purpose. But since there is no cost once they have passed away, whatever money comes out of the trust has no impact on the cost. There are no costs.
So it's an annuity.
I would disagree with the term annuity. It is a savings account. If you want to, for simplistic terms, it's not legally a savings account, but if I could use a colloquial term, mm-hmm. It is essentially a savings account of employee money. That money is being saved up for the length of their employment, and then it will be used to pay for their health care. Today, they get paid in full. The city does not get the 2%, and then the city pays 100% of the health care. So this money is being contributed by the employee to help pay for their health care. It is their money. That there's no taxpayer money going into the trust per the terms of this contract. And yes, that money will grow, but again, it's their money and it's being used to offset the costs. So whether the savings are 30% or 50% or 20%, and I understand and I respect your right to say that you don't feel like the savings have been proven to you, I completely respect that. But today, the city has no employee contribution toward healthcare. And I think that we can all agree that this is a significant contribution to healthcare. We stand by our numbers, but if you don't agree with them, I would hope that you can agree that it is still a significant contribution to healthcare. It is something the city does not have today. There is no employee contribution to retiree healthcare. It is something that the city would never be awarded in an arbitration, in my opinion, that's my opinion, but something so dramatic as to put into a contract where it never existed before, an employee contribution to healthcare, to their healthcare and retirement, is highly unlikely. Therefore, if we don't negotiate that, to try to get it in an arbitration, I think is not a likely scenario. And I think that it's an important first step. It is a 3-year contract. I think nobody believes that when you put something in a contract that it stays that way for the entire 25 years someone is employed. Terms of a contract change. So I would not say to you, I don't think it would be fair or honest of me to say to you that that OPEB trust, exactly as it's written today, will say exactly the same thing 25 years from now. Because there are 5 or 6 or possibly 7 negotiations between here and there that may change the terms of that trust. But it is something that you don't have today, and it is substantial. Even if you don't agree with me on the 30%, it is substantial. It is something you won't get in arbitration. It is a big savings to the taxpayers in the long run. It may not be as much as everybody wanted, and I can't argue with that, but that's negotiation.
Mr. Dimitri, you have not proven...
So we're going to, if we're not going to be able to continue with the meeting, we'll take a recess. I realize everybody gets excited when somebody makes a statement, but, you know, temper it so we can get through this. Otherwise, we'll start taking recesses. Thank you.
Mr. Dimitri, I don't dispute the right for negotiations. I don't dispute the right for bargaining agreements. What I'm asking for is documentation and something I can sign on to show where there's a 30% contribution average over this plan. And there is no numbers. There are no numbers that prove that. There's statements that say it's going to occur. Brian, I'm curious, why was this document not filled out and provided?
That was discussed, and again, the feeling was the fiscal note was in compliance with all of the ordinances within the city of Warwick.
So that's why this was not filled out? This is pertinent information to the assumptions and to the statements into the positions that have been made governing this contract, that pertain to this contract. But this didn't seem to have any importance to provide us with this information, to give these numbers, and to reflect the design from the architect. That is very troubling to me. It's a simple Excel spreadsheet. It's using the numbers that were provided by the actuaries. It's their blueprint. It's what we're being told. It's what we're being sold. This is the right thing. This is what's going to happen. I simply asked for, you were asked for, I say you, generalizing, to fill in the blanks for the architectural drafting that you provided to us. So we don't have that. I asked the question a moment ago, what happens, and by the way, we're talking about, you know, this contribution that has never occurred. This contribution, as we know, is only occurring for new employees. And we've heard several different times tonight that we don't know if we're going to have new employees, and we don't know how many new employees. Well, I'm sure we will have new employees, not just in the fire department, but elsewhere through the city. We're quite sure of that. So what happens in a very narrow time frame, certainly before the 25 years of this thing getting anywhere near close to a break even, what happens if you have one or two of these payouts? How does that affect the ability of this OPEB to continue paying for the health care, the 70% of the health care? By your numbers, 30. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything close to 30, either in the 15-year analysis or the 25-year, not even close. The closest that it comes is not 30. How is that going to affect their health care?
So again, that money is meant for their health care in retirement. If somebody were to leave city service and they are not eligible for retirement, let's say they work here for a year and leave, well, the money was meant for their health care in retirement. They're not going to retire with the city. They would be entitled to that money. Let's say, unfortunately, they pass away. They work for the city for 20 years and pass away. Again, there is no cost of their health care in retirement. Therefore, the city does not need their contribution in retirement. I'll reiterate, it is their money. There is no taxpayer money. It is meant to offset the cost of their health care in retirement. If they never reach retirement, then the city has no cost related to that person's health care. And each person will have their own money set aside. So distributing one person's money will have no impact on the other money that is being held in the OPEB trust for all the other employees, and that money will still be set aside. So in the unlikely event...
Mr. Demetriou, that's not what I asked.
I'm sorry.
What I asked was, over a period of time, 5 years, 10 years, you have X dollars and cents put into this OPEB by the new hires.
Yes.
At 2% per year. And we haven't, nobody's yes. answered my question about, is this 2% compounded? Is this 2% on top of the 3% COLAs, et cetera? I don't think that has been answered.
Well, would you like me to answer?
Sure.
That? Okay. So it's 2% of whatever their pay is. So if their pay is $10,000, well, I'll make it easy. If their pay is $100,000, they would contribute $2,000. If their pay does not go up the next year for whatever reason, and it's still $100,000, they would still contribute $2,000. If their pay goes up by 3% to $103,000, they would contribute 2% of $103,000, which I can't do the math that fast in my head, but it would go up as their pay goes up, but it's always 2% of their pay.
Okay.
So I hope that answered your question.
So can you tell me, with a new hire that comes aboard today and is going to start paying into this OPEB, and it's going to be a 15-year plan prior to retirement, can you tell me how much money that individual firefighter is going to contribute to this OPEB plan?
I can't tell you right now.
You don't
I don't
know.
Have that data in front of me right
can
now.
Can you tell me how much the cost of health care is going to be for that employee over the 15 years or the 25?
Do you know that? Those 15 years, they would be an active employee. There would be no costs of health care in retirement. They have not yet reached retirement. You won't have any
I'm
costs.
Not talking about when they reach retirement. I said when a new hire joins the department.
Yes.
That new hire is going to work for 15, 25 years. How much does that employee put in? You didn't know. I asked how much was the cost of health care over that time frame, that 15, 20, 25 years of employment. How much was the cost of health care? You didn't know.
I'd like to answer. Those are two separate issues. The cost of retirement while they're working here and OPEB, which stands for other post-employment benefits, this is meant to cover their other post-employment benefits. The cost of their health care while they are here has no impact on the trust, and they are completely unrelated.
But it is related. Because
no, sir, I'm sorry.
Because they're paying 2% of their health care as a new hire until such time as they retire.
No, they are paying
right?
2% of their salary into an account.
Right.
That money stays there.
Right.
And none of it gets used until they retire.
I
it
get,
does
I
not
understand.
Matter what their health care costs are while they're working here. They pay it's either 20 or 25% of their healthcare costs while they're working here. That's already part of the contract today. None of that has changed. So this has no impact on the cost of their healthcare while they are employees. They're completely separate and distinct
items. I'm still asking if you know what the cost of the healthcare is over their term of employment.
No, I don't have an answer to that.
You understand his question. He just wants to, you're calculating a 30% savings. He's trying to get to how you got to that number.
Well, again,
and every time he asks you how you get to the number, you can't give him the numbers that you obviously added up to get to a 30% savings.
So, again,
can you show us the math or can't you?
Again, I'm going to say that, first of all, the cost of their health care while they're employees has no impact on that 30% savings. I think we all understand.
Mr. Nico, it's a simple question. Can you show us the math how you calculated a 30% savings, or you can't?
That was not his question. His question was, what is their cost of healthcare while they're employed?
I asked the question backing into, again, the 30%, because you can't show us how you came up with that 30%.
These models that are designed by the actuaries are very complicated. I am not an actuary. I am the first person to tell you I'm not an actuary. But
which brings me to my point, is
the
actuary?
The actuary gives you a report every year. And he does not give you the model. He gives you a report. And this council accepts his reports every year as reasonable estimates. I would never say they're 100% accurate, because when you're projecting things out that far, everyone understands it's an estimate. This is the same thing. This is the actuary's estimate. I respect your right to disagree with the actuary's estimate, but
Mr. D'Amico, let me clarify something. I did not say I disagree with the actuary's estimate. I asked for proof and documentation, the simple math of a spreadsheet, to show me where he's coming up with this 30% savings. That's what I'm asking, and nobody's been able to answer that. So that is a number that is simply a speculation. It's like a wish list number, because you don't have the actual documentation to be able to show this. Brian, I have a question for you. So, with this OPEB trust that's being established, was there any intention to use the funding in this OPEB trust to have an impact on the liabilities of the $350 million unfunded OPEB? In a financial statement, somewheres along the line, can Brian answer that question? In a financial statement where this OPEB, this new one, is being established, there has to be an accountability for that number. There has to be a tracking of it. There has to be someone who's in charge of investing it. There's a cost associated to that. There's the reports that have to be issued, et cetera, et cetera. There are different funds. Somebody's going to choose the funds. Who's choosing the funds? Is it the firefighters or is it someone else? Do they get to choose their own funds? Is it a qualified plan? We don't know that, because it's not in here. There's nothing about the different funds. There's nothing about, is it a qualified plan? Doesn't say any of that. So back to the question was, this OPEB that we're talking about now, how is that going to impact the unfunded OPEB liability we have now? Will that be used to offset the OPEB current unfunded liability on our balance sheets, for lack of a better term?
The number you're speaking of, the OPEB number you're speaking of, $350 million unfunded, that is the report as of July 1, 2018. What we're speaking on tonight is future hires, and the 30% is affecting future hires. So that is not impacting that $350 million.
So as this OPEB plan grows, the monies that are sitting in that on our balance sheets for the city, however you guys refer to it in your world, that is not going to have any correlation to the unfunded OPEB liability the city has now.
I was stating, you're referring to a number right now. The most recent OPEB report was 7/1/2018. You're referencing $350 million. As of that report, this will not impact that in the future.
As of a current report. Okay, that just happens to be one in some of the research that I did. So in a current report, we're doing the report for fiscal year end that we're going to do this year. Let's assume that this OPEB fund that we're speaking about now, just for the sake of conversation, let's say it has $5 million in it. Is that going to be used to have an offset to the overall OPEB deficit on our balance sheets?
Yes.
It will.
If we had employees paying into it, yes. When we do.
So how do you control that? How do you know what happens to that formula that you're going to use to reduce the unfunded OPEB that we have now of, what is it, $400 million or something? $406 million? Somewhere thereabouts? Whatever it is. Okay. It's grown substantially in the last year, though. So you're saying that it will have an impact on that. And an impact, tell me how it's going to impact that. So this OPEB plan is going to have a positive. At least that's what everybody's saying. Because it doesn't matter if $500,000 is drawn out, you know, in 5 or 10 years from now. That's not going to have any impact on the net balance or, you know, what these guys have to pay in or what they may get or not get. So they're going to have a positive in there. Are you saying that in our finance documents, that is going to be used as a positive to reduce the OPEB liability that is shown on the books?
First off, in your first comment where the OPEB has grown substantially in recent years, it actually went down $4 million from the last OPEB report to the current.
Okay.
So it actually did go down. Over time, as new employees come on and the plan grows, yes, it will reduce.
So how are you going to account to the taxpayers if you have these drawdowns, and at some point these drawdowns are going to take place because this is designed to be an annuity, you can call it a whole life policy, call it whatever you'd like. That's what it is. It's an annuity or it's a whole life. I mean, let's just call it what it is. That's fine. Okay? So that's what it is. At least we have a clear understanding of what it is. And if you have, at some point, you have some drawdowns on this, then it's going to do have the adverse effect on the OPEB liability, right? So how do we account to the taxpayers for that?
When you draw down, you're offsetting the cost at that time, so it would be reducing the liability at that time. That would not have that. It wouldn't have that impact.
No, if we're paying out of the firefighter's OPEB account, you're drawing down the value in that account.
I'm sorry, you're speaking upon when a firefighter dies.
That's correct.
Say,
yes. Okay, and if you have a drawdown of that by $1 million or whatever the number is, that's going to change the picture from where it is today as a positive.
Again, at that point, under this scenario, the employee would no longer be on the books. There would be no further future liability related to this firefighter because he would be passed away.
So if I could, Brian, with a pension plan, we all know how that works. The employee contributes to the pension plan.
Correct.
And the city contributes to the pension plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. When the employee dies, does the employee get a payout on his pension plan?
Depends on the elective. For some pension plans, I believe, but no.
Okay. So that money stays within the city?
Yes.
Okay. And that's what I think Councilman Lattisaw is alluding to. It is different than a pension plan. And the other point that I wanted to make is you're talking about, we both agree the city contributes to pensions. When the firefighters contribute to their pension plan, the city has a matching fund that we have to match so their fund eventually becomes solvent, 80%, 85%, 90%, correct?
That's correct.
We contribute. In this plan, for healthcare, we contribute, the city contributes nothing. Only the firefighters contribute. So it's destined to fail because we're not contributing anything to that plan. And what you need to understand here is that the $34 million annual required contribution that you know, last year, the annual required contribution last year was $23 million. And we're pay-as-you-go, $10 million. The annual required contribution this year jumped up to $34 million. And we're not paying any of that. And for future employees, we're not going to be paying any of that. So it's only when they get to the point of retirement. And when the actuaries came before here, all the council members listened. And all the council members understood. When the OPEB actuary, the healthcare actuary, came before us, that actuary said, if we don't change the benefit structure of the current retirement and the current employees, the plan will fail. It will not be there. And we're not addressing any of what we were told by that actuary for current or retired employees, are we?
To clarify your statement, the $34 million that is required or recommended?
Yes.
We pay $10 million.
Correct. We pay as you go, as I said. Yeah. And it went from 23 to 34. We still pay $10 million. And my point is, the actuary said for current employees and retirees, it is unsustainable. I mean, I know there was a few of us here in September that heard that. And so this contract doesn't address that issue. So if we vote on this contract, and we believe our actuaries, they won't have health care at some point when they go to retire, correct?
To your point, and referencing what Mr. D'Amico spoke of earlier, if you are going to believe the actuary statement at that time, again, he gave you a report, 30% savings. This is his recommendation. This is what he believes. Just
new employees, Brian.
Yes.
New employees, not
yes.
Current, and not retirement.
You clearly believe the report that was provided, and that's those statements. I'm just saying he now made a statement that you will be realizing 30% savings on new hires.
Brian, that's for new employees.
Yes.
And you heard him testify that if you don't do something for current employees, in other words, the city is required to pay that annual required contribution, just like we do for their pensions, okay? It's not going to be there when they go to retire. That was his testimony. We have to change that benefit structure. If we don't, and we don't start contributing, the council members don't start contributing, it's not going to be there for them. So what are we promising them? A lie we know that won't come to fruition for them? I mean, that's what the actuary said. It's not going to be there for them. So as what? A good politician? We have to lie to these folks? I mean, that's what was said, and we're not doing anything to address it. It's mind-boggling. Councilman
Ricks. Mr. President, I haven't finished.
I'm sorry. Councilman Lasser.
So, Brian, what would happen in the future after the plan is established? If the plan is ruled, remember I spoke earlier about being a qualified plan? What happens if this plan is ruled not to be a qualified trust? And I ask that question because GASB states assets accumulated in excess of pay-as-you-go requirements should not be reported as plan assets, and the employer should not report payments to the fund as OPEB contributions. Now, how does that gel with your statement earlier that the position of this OPEB trust would in fact be reflected in our financial positions?
Councilman, just to be clear, you're reading from GATSB 75 requirements for the setting up of an OPEB trust?
Yeah, that's one of the questions.
So, thank you.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Okay. It says, after a plan is established, if the plan is ruled not to be a qualified trust, GASPE states assets accumulated in excess of pay-as-you-go requirements should not be reported as plan assets, and the employers should not report payments to the fund as OPEB contributions. How does that stand with what?
The employer is not making contributions. These are employee contributions.
How does the assets accumulated in that plan above and beyond pay-as-you-go, how is that going to be reflected in our financials? Because it says here that assets accumulated in excess of pay-as-you-go requirements should not be reported as plan assets. You said earlier that if this OPEB has X dollars and cents, it would be used to have the impact on our unfunded OPEB liability. So aren't you saying that, in fact, you would be using the asset to do that? Because the OPEB trust, it might be the employee's money that's going in it, but the trust is still an asset to the city, is it not?
Bill DePasquale, Chief of Staff. Just some information to relative to the OPEB trust in the question. I think under the IRS code, it's well-founded that Section 115 and maybe even Section 401H have been used for OPEB trusts. And one thing that should be noted for the record and for everyone listening or here tonight, that setting up an OPEB trust is considered a best management practice. I'll read it again, a best management practice by the government finance offices and organization that represents public finances. This is a practice that's been used in several cities and is a good practice. I heard testimony that we have a huge OPEB liability. Well, if I told you you could reduce that by 30%, I would think that everyone could agree that's a good thing. That's what you have in front of you. And to that end, the OPEB trust, which is the vehicle here, is provided for in the IRS and has been used by California, for instance, public employee retirement system. So I say that because it seems that one may believe this is something that is newfangled, but it's an approach that's actually a best management practice. So we had concerns about OPEB. We have this huge OPEB liability. We need to start doing something about it. In front of you is the first step to do something about it. Right? So take that opportunity to do something about it. Tonight.
So, Chief, with that said, and this, some of this information is coming from the Government Finance Officers Association. It says establishing and administering an OPEB trust. Mm-hmm. So far, all we've seen is the proposed setup of an OPEB trust. We haven't heard from the actuaries. We have no idea, nor does anyone that come to that podium tonight have any idea of monies going in, monies going out, the impacts, how it's going to impact the balance sheet to the city. It also says that GFOA recommends creating a qualified trust fund to pre-fund OPEB obligations. To ensure that the trust is established and administered properly, governments should consult qualified legal counsel and fully understand the following issues. And it goes on to outline a bunch of these issues. So, who is going to be responsible for this OPEB trust? Who is the attorney putting it together? What does it say? What does it provide? What does it guarantee? And where does it say if in 3 years or 4 years from now this thing just proves to be not quite what everyone expected and it's over, it's done, we're not doing it anymore, it's going to be stopped? Or what happens in 3 years from now when a new contract is coming up for negotiation and the bargaining group at that time decides we don't want this because it's going to take like 30 years for anything to happen. What happens to this plan then?
My answer would be that, one, this plan is a blueprint for all the other collective bargaining units going forward. And again, this could be an opportunity, if seized, to save 2%, which is mandated in the ratification of the contract, if it was approved tonight, takes 2% out of the employee, puts it in a bank, that is used to offset health care costs. All right? Remember what we're saying. We have a big OPEB number. We're getting at some costs contributed by the employer. And at a given time, given compounded interest and a rate of return from the market, at the given time of retirement, that goes to offset the taxpayers who are paying the bill. That's a good thing. The answer to your second question is, the other two collective bargaining agreements will most likely have that on the table for discussion. And then in the reciprocal, as we go through, and these collective bargaining agreements are typically 3 years, that's not to say, given a consideration, that the contributions could increase. I remember when I came to the city, there was no health care copay. And progressively, it increased. So I think that's the thinking going forward. Let's start somewhere. The journey to the highest mountain starts with the first step. This is the first step, not only for this contract, but also for others. And giving the IRS provisions, they're very clear on how this trust has to be set up, and the appropriate, you know, folks that are involved with that would have to be brought in. But the ratification on the contract tonight simply says a new employee pays 2%. So now we've garnered that money, and then we try to facilitate it through the three trust mechanisms that are recognized by the IRS.
And how is that paragraph I just read? To ensure that the trust is established and administered properly, government should consult qualified legal counsel to do this.
Absolutely.
So who is going to be, first of all, has this trust been fully designed? Is it designed? Do you know where the investments are going to be made? Who's going to be doing the investments? Who are the managers of this trust? Who's responsible for it? What is the legal terminology of this trust? Or is this something that is going to be put together after a contract is approved? Is this something that's going to be put together after? And what happens if the bargaining group doesn't like that? Are we going to be subject to a grievance? Are we going to be subject to back to an arbitration situation like technically we're still in right now?
No, sir. It would be contractual, right? So we'd be removing the 2%. It would be invested in a trust, and the trust is governed by the IRS in three forms and fashion. One of that, was section, say, 115, uses it as a subset of a pension. So you would utilize the functioning of the existing pension plan to subset that money, and your diversification in your portfolio would mimic what was approved by the retirement board. That's one form. There's another one with the 401H, which is a little different kind of trust. And we would correctly seek the best in the field, the best professionals, like we did with Vin Ragasa when we brought him in under labor law, to make sure that whatever we selected, whatever the three forms are that allowed us to do this through the IRS, would be the best for the city of Warwick.
All right, Bill. This OPEB trust, where in this contract, where does it stipulate the language for this OPEB trust, for this contract?
The language says it will go into a trust.
That's it.
The OPEB
right.
trust is regulated by the IRS.
But it doesn't define...
In three forms of fashion, and that's as strict as you can get when you're dealing with IRS qualification standards.
Where in the contract does it specify what type of OPEB trust fund is being set up? Does it say that in the contract?
Says a trust will be set up.
It just says a trust, so it's ambiguous.
It's not ambiguous.
It doesn't say what the trust is.
The form and function of this is 2% is taken out of an employee's paycheck.
Right.
Right?
But it doesn't...
It's set aside. An employee in the group that's involved here, it'll be their money in which to invest to offset the cost of health care in the future. Again, we have a big number, we complain about the big number, and we have an opportunity to do something right here tonight, and that is the first step. I can't believe that an argument would be made that if we took more money from an employer to pay for benefits, that that's a bad thing. And I don't hear tonight any kind of refutable argument that that's a good thing for anything. It's almost like it's a bad thing. And I'm just, I guess, a little miffed that the idea of an OPEB trust that is a government standard best management practice, if the actuaries that come in here, and we tout the actuaries when they're here, when they give us a $400 million number, but now we don't utilize their professionalism in designing their recommendation to us based on this. We either believe the actuary or don't. An actuarial is not an easy thing to obtain. It could be 7 to 10 years to obtain that. So I guess my only point is, why would we not want to start tonight to change the and curb the tide against OPEB? And I get arguments that today's OPEB, I get that argument. I really do.
It's, you know, Mr.
President. So, Bill, so you asking us why wouldn't we do this and why wouldn't we do that? I'm asking you, why wouldn't you provide us with the financial information that we've requested? Why wouldn't you, or why wouldn't the administration provide us with the description of this OPEB trust? Who is the attorney? Who's going to be administering it? What is the language in the contract that specifies who will be handling the trust investments? Who is the manager? How much does it cost? I keep hearing that, oh, it's not going to cost you anything. So you and I sit on the pension board. We have managers that are in place that manage the pension funds for our municipal employees. And we know that there's a cost associated to that. We know those managers don't work for free. They get paid. And I'm asking, what is the cost? And I haven't gotten an answer to that.
Well, I'm sorry. There are a few things. I think the actuarial review stands on its own. And if I may, just if you're a registered contractor, would you bring a non-registered contractor in to bid something and then have them provide a bid to a homeowner if they're unregistered and think that that is as good a review as an actuary in this case, or as in your case, you being a licensed registered contractor? And I think that's the key. When we start breaking down what the actuary review is and breaking it and parsing the words, I think there's either a 30% plus or minus or zero. We're at zero right now. The savings for the taxpayer could be upwards of 30%, right? And the answer into some of the questions are not answerable now because they're guided by the federal government. We know now that the trust in OPEB is a best management practice. If the actuary comes in here, they would give us 9 or 10 things to do, and that would be one of them. So I think we should stipulate that's a positive thing, that's something that's accepted in the community, and whether or not it's enough or not, obviously, that's a debate, which is clearly fair. But there is a positive element to this trust that has been set up by California and many others to address this. If the question is it enough? I mean, that's fair. You can debate that.
Chief, there is no documentation to back up the assumption that is being projected here of a 30% savings.
I would argue
or 30%
I would argue that that is absolutely false. There is a document that everyone's in hand that has actuary letterhead on. You can reduce it. You can put it in the media. It gives the scenario and the variable about that number. They're the professional. That's why we hire them. When we bring them into the city council, we pay a lot of money for them to come up and give us a number. They were touted the $400 million. It's the same actuary, same guy, same person, same firm. So I understand, but I have to say at one point in time, we got to stay in your lane. And when we have a professional getting paid who's an actuary, takes 7 to 10 years of experience, I'm going to take his memorandum as something close to what is real.
Sure, and I would have appreciated having the opportunity to have those actuaries come in front of us so I could ask those same questions and hear it from them. Chief, they say these contributions and their earnings are projected to offset gross retiree health care costs by an average of about 30% a year.
Understood.
What I'm asking is, where is the backup information to document that? That's all I'm asking for. Where is the backup information to document a 30% savings?
What I'm hearing is we don't know
what the number is. We don't know how much the firefighters or the employees, if this goes other areas, how much they're going to be putting in. We don't know. But we don't know any of that. But what we do know is that there's going to be an average health care cost offset by 30%, but we can't document it.
Listen, I had knee replacement surgery.
I don't know how you expect me to support that.
I don't know how the doctor knows, you know, does my knee replacement surgery. I just know in the end, I'm okay. In this case, there's a professional document that was constructed by the actuary for the city of Warwick, and there's, and that is the information, is the best available information. Just like the doctor that does, I don't know how he corrects my knee. All
Chief,
I know is it's done correctly when I can walk around.
Does the fiscal note that has been provided to this council, does it document the gross offset of health care costs of about 30% per year? Per year. So that means from beginning to end, an average of 30% per year. Do we have anything in the fiscal note that gives us that information? Or shows us, show me how they come up with the 30%.